The Ozone.
Welcome to the Ozone Podcast, presented by ViStar Credit Union, with Jaguars senior writer, John Osier.
All right, welcome into this week's Ozone Podcast, presented by ViStar. And sort of an obvious guest this week, an incredibly timely guest. But for me, any week that I can talk to Peter King of Football Morning in America is a good week. Peter, thanks so much for joining us. We'll get to Urban Meyer, who's obviously the topic of our conversation today, next. And I'm not going to ask you about Tony Boselli this time. How about that?
So always we'll love talking Tony hold. Anytime. You know that.
Yeah, we'll put that on hold. But first of all, league-wide, how are you in terms of covering the league right now? Are you back to normal at all? And any impressions right now of what's going on with the league?
You know, I'm hoping. I see Tom Pelissero of NFL Network has reported that it appears that most off-season programs will be able to begin in the month of April. So that's obviously welcome to all the teams in the league. And look, I as of right now, John, my intention is to travel to one or more places for the draft this year. Not to Cleveland, but, you know, I always try to go to a very newsy team or teams. And I haven't really decided yet because I'm telling you right now, there are some teams that are going to be open to the media on draft weekend. And there are some teams that say we're doing it virtual again. So that's why I don't have a great feel for how this whole thing is going to go, but you know, whatever the rules are, I'll abide by them and just try to be as insightful as I can. You know,
are the Jaguars as fascinating a team as you're seeing, or I guess the question is, are they as fascinating nationally as they appear to us here locally?
Oh, I think they are. What I see right now is a team that has gotten a jolt of adrenaline and then some from Urban Meyer, from Trevor Lawrence, from $70 million in cap room, from all those things. And, you know, we'll see what happens and we'll see what develops. But I think the most interesting thing about the team right now, and you know, Urban said it to me the other day, is basically, if you think about it, and I mean, it's a difficult thing to quantify because you really have to go way back. But if you think about it, what he says is absolutely true, which is that it's probably the most important offseason that this team has had. When you think about it, you know, the new coach, the new franchise quarterback, the most money of any team in free agency, those are all huge factors in the sort of redevelopment of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, it reminded me, Peter, as you know, I was fortunate enough to be around 95, 98 when the whole thing was sort of built and going on. To me, it feels like sort of a combination of two or three of those off seasons, because back then you knew there was expansion. There was sort of a five-year plan in an era where five-year plans made more sense. This sort of feels like all of it put together on steroids because of the number one pick, which they've never had. So just sort of my two cents. But I want to give you a lot of room to breathe on a couple of topics because I respect your opinion a great deal on NFL people. First, just give me your overall impressions of talking to Urban. I don't know how much you had talked to him before.
Never in my
life.
Very
much.
Never had one conversation with him.
What were your overall impressions? You've talked to a lot of people over the years, a lot of important NFL people, maybe all of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest takeaway is that he's got a plan. And as you've noticed, John, I'm sure you've been around him now enough to know that he's got a plan. He's very much drilled down to the smallest things that you have to worry about. You know, I once heard one of the Patriots say about Bill Belichick. You know, I once said, man, it's so it must be so difficult to play for Bill all the time. It must be great in some ways, but difficult. And he goes, greatest part about playing for Bill Belichick is that when I walk into training camp every year, I feel like everybody else in the NFL is starting at the goal line and we're starting at the 40-yard line. You know, like we got a 40-yard head start on everybody else in football. And I think one of the things that you've noticed with Urban Meyer as he's gone in his career, he didn't have a lot of ramp up time when you think about it. And it's easy to hit the ground running and to win 10 games in Columbus, Ohio and Gainesville, Florida. But, you know, his first job, he took over a losing team with a losing ethos at Bowling Green, and they won right away. And they won pretty much right away too in Utah. And so I think honestly that is the biggest takeaway I had, that he's got answers for everything. And again, we'll have to see if those answers are all the right answers. And he certainly does have, I can see very much. One of the things when I was talking to Jimmy Johnson, I don't know, maybe a month ago about Urban, or maybe even longer than that before he took the job, one of the things that Jimmy said basically is that, hey, Urban's not stupid. Urban sees the opportunity in Jacksonville. And John, when you think about it, even though the Jaguars arguably were the worst team in football last year and their record showed it, how often do you get advantages like taking a true franchise quarterback with the first pick, like having more cap room than anybody in the NFL, and having sort of a blank slate that Urban Meyer has because Shad Khan has given that to him. So he's got a really good opportunity in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it unprecedented, but it's certainly rare. I think, and that's it's an incredible opportunity. As you know, Peter, I covered the Colts from 90 or from 2001 on, but I missed their very beginning. But it strikes you a little bit like that. When they were drafting Peyton, they had brought in Bill Polian. It was a clear reset. They had a couple of good players. They had Marvin Harrison to start that, Tarik Glenn, some guys like that. It's some pieces. But we're also pulling very rare instances. That was 24, 25 years ago. So it doesn't happen very often. And, no doubt. All right, we've buried the lead enough, Peter. We have, you and I are both longtime journalists. You don't bury the lead like this, but we've done it. The Trevor news. Obviously, Urban told you basically the pick is all but made. However you want to paraphrase it. Take me through that question. Did you expect him to answer it like that?
No.
Because it seemed to me like it was just in the course of an interview.
That's exactly what it was. I think sometimes it's fairly preposterous when an NFL coach or general manager before the draft, when everyone knows exactly what you're going to do in this draft, you know, it's foolish to see them twist themselves into knots to play word games. Okay. And to me, when he said, I'm looking at it right now, I'm certainly not stepping out of line that's certainly the direction we're headed. I'd have to say that's the direction we're going. So, I mean, John, you know, from covering this league for a long time that usually people will sidestep questions like that. I mean, he didn't say we are drafting Trevor Lawrence, but he might as well have said that.
Sure.
And thank you, I basically thought to myself. but honestly, nobody really thought that there was a chance they weren't going to take him. And I understand the enthusiasm and ramped up excitement about Zach Wilson, and rightfully so. He looks like he's a really good player. But, you know, honestly, when you really think about it, I think you almost have to take the bird in the hand. The guy who for the last 3 years, everyone has said when he comes out, he's going to be the first pick in the draft. He is the closest thing to Andrew Luck since Andrew Luck. And so I think in this case, John, you shouldn't overthink it. You ought to just take the guy who's far and away been the best candidate. And look, it could be that Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, one of these guys has a better NFL career. You just can't tell. But I think it would be, I don't want to say irresponsible. That's the wrong word. But
sure,
I think it would be very strange if they wouldn't have taken Trevor Lawrence.
I know you don't do draft year round, but you certainly talk to more than enough people around the league to have a grasp over a prospect of Trevor Lawrence's caliber. You mentioned the Andrew Luck thing. In your talking to people, there doesn't seem to be very much doubt about this kid. Is it since Luck that you've heard, I guess, conversations like this, if you know what I'm getting at?
I think that and I was just thinking about this, I think people are more confident in him than they were in Joe Burrow, which is really saying some, because Joe Burrow probably had the best season against the best competition in college football history of mm-hmm. any quarterback. But I think the reason for that, John, is that people have loved Trevor Lawrence for 3 years. People love Joe Burrow for 3 months. And that's really the difference that I see anyway.
And that meant they had plenty of time to try to pick Trevor apart and obviously had trouble doing it, which says something, I guess, too.
I mean, yeah, you've got to look at it and say, and of course, if you have long enough time to pick somebody apart, you can figure out his weaknesses, whatever they would be. But I think the biggest thing when you look at Trevor Lawrence is that he's a big, mobile, very smart, strong-armed passer who can make all the throws. And against the best level of competition over a 3-year period, possibly of any quarterback mm-hmm. ever, he went 34-2. So, I mean, as I say,
right.
don't overthink.
Don't overthink. Easy, that's the money.
It's pretty easy. It's a pretty easy decision.
I got you. I'm going to ask a very elementary question, but I want to get your take on it. How is it more important these days? I've been doing this 25 years. You've been doing it longer. More important these days to have a franchise guy? Just as important? I mean, I guess I'm trying to give fans some perspective on just how much this can change a franchise. And the answer is it changes everything. But I'm wondering from your perspective how you would put that into words.
John, I think the biggest thing that I have seen in the last 5, maybe 10 years is the absolute desperation to make sure that you have a quarterback. And
that's even ratcheted up since before. There was always that, but it's more
yes,
now.
It's more now. Look at, I mean, I started covering the NFL in 1984. I covered the Cincinnati Bengals. And I could pull out the standings of the Bengals right now or the standings of the NFL in 1984. And half the teams in the league had an okay or less quarterback right. situation. And you did not see at all the following offseason the kind of desperado behavior. I mean, the San Francisco 49ers, let's just say their pick is Mac Jones at number 3. Let's just say. the San Francisco 49ers would have devoted three first-round draft picks to a quarterback. And I think there's a very good chance that they're bringing Jimmy Garoppolo back. Mm-hmm. And if they bring Jimmy Garoppolo back, imagine the quarterback who 2 years ago was the quarterback on your Super Bowl runner-up team. You won the NFC with this quarterback. He's in his prime. He's still young. And 2 years later, you spend three first-round picks on a guy who's going to succeed him. So, I mean, you know, last year, the Carolina Panthers got decent play out of Teddy Bridgewater. They have no compunction to hang on to Teddy Bridgewater. They are going to try aggressively in the next month to do better than Teddy Bridgewater. So this just
is it merited, not, Peter, or is it overkill? I mean, is it overreaction, or do we know that yet?
I don't think we know it, but in my opinion, I just think it's people in the NFL who are desperate to win and don't want to enter a season thinking to themselves, well, if we don't get it right this year, we'll get it right next year. That's kind of what the Philadelphia Eagles are doing right now. But most teams are thinking to themselves, you know, like Urban Meyer said, I have no interest in, 2022 or what, and I'm paraphrasing right. him, but
sure.
He's trying to win right now. And so, you know, good for him. I think the players on that team are going to like that.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, it's fascinating. It's probably the best explanation that I've heard. It's such a desperation right now to get one. And it's
–
I've never seen it like that before. I want to ask you a couple more things about Urban before we close up, because you spend a lot of time with him and you interview people as well as anybody I've ever been around. Your thoughts on what he said about his future. I have – been struck in the interaction and the Zoom calls that I've seen with him on how candid he has been since he's gotten here.
Yeah.
I don't know what I expected. I didn't really expect that. I guess your thoughts on what he told you about his future and sort of where he's coming from on that. I was fascinated by the answers.
I mean, this is now about 3 months ago, when it first started coming out that the Jaguars were seriously in serious talks with Urban Meyer, I just said to myself, what? I mean, here's a guy who retired from Florida at 45, came back a few weeks later and said he was going to continue coaching. Then he retired at 46 after his next year. And then 11 months later, he takes the Ohio State job. And then he retires from that one at age 54. So, you know, I my first thought was, and I called somebody who knows Shad Khan, and I said, I mean, this seems a little precipitous. And he said, well, he said, Shad has really drilled down on that with Urban, because obviously this, they don't want a Shula or a Shula. They don't want a Saban situation like in Miami. And obviously everybody knows Nick Saban took the Dolphins job with a 5-year contract in 2005. And 23 months later is sitting at his kitchen table with his wife and Wayne Huizenga, then the owner, now the late Wayne Huizenga, the owner of the Dolphins. And he's pleading, whatever, beseeching him, I don't want to do this. I want to go back to college. And so Huizenga said, okay, go. And so obviously, you know, look, Nick Saban wasn't saying I'm leaving after 2 years when he took the Dolphins job. I guarantee you that. But I got the impression, especially from how strident Urban Meyer was with me when he said zero chance of that happening, that he was going to be a short timer. So, you know, we'll take him at his word and we'll see what happens.
Final thought. And I was fascinated by his answer when you asked him this. You asked him what he expected from this season. he did give you sort of a coach speak answer there, which I completely expect. No coach is going to predict record. What are your thoughts on the Jaguars this year? What will you be watching for? How fascinated will you be? And what do you expect?
John, I think the thing that's so interesting about this team is that so much of it is going to be new. You know, the coach on his staff that I like a lot and I think is going to have a huge impact on year one. Obviously, Meyer's going to have more impact than anybody. But the, you know, the assistant coach is going to have the biggest impact is Joe Cullen.
Because I read your mind on that one. I agree.
Joe Cullen has been waiting for this moment since he almost totally screwed up his life, you know, with alcohol, whatever it was, 12 years ago. And, you know, he took the hard way of getting back into the NFL. He basically, you know, threw himself on the mercy of the court with Roger Goodell. And Goodell was behind him, taking baby steps at first to come back into the league. And I've gotten to know Cullen a little bit over the years. And I just think he's so out to prove that I'm glad people believed in me, because I'll take that for the rest of my career. And I'll make sure that I never put myself in a bad situation like I did when he was in Detroit. So I like the fact that I think their defense is going to be good. And I think their defense is going to be energetic. And, you know, the one other thing I would say, John, look, I don't know what they're going to do in the draft after the quarterback, but they're going to be in great position to do great things in the draft. But I also think the other smart thing that I think they've done is they've left themselves with $40 million in cap room, because I believe every year you see the cutting of some players on or about June 1, because, you know, obviously teams want to be able to, you know, separate the financial burden of those players from 2021 and 2022. Yep. So there will be, in my opinion, a bunch of good players on the street on June 1, 2, 3, right in there. And I would be surprised if the Jaguars don't nab two or three of those. So I don't think their free agent experience is over at all. And everybody has been ho-hum about free agency with them. But look, the Patriots spent $1 jillion and probably are a lot better. I get that. But the recent history of the NFL, the road is littered with teams that thought they bought greatness and ended up buying mediocrity instead.
Usually doesn't work.
Yeah, free agency is just not nirvana. And so we'll see what happens. But as I say, the player acquisition side of the Jaguars, obviously 1 month from now is going to get significantly ramped up. And then a month after that, you know, after the month of May, when they get into June, they're going to get more players in June. So the Jaguars are going to be virtually unrecognizable from the team that walked off the field on January 3rd. And I bet that most of Duval County is saying hallelujah for that.
Peter, as I always tell you on these things, I could talk football with you all day. You're one of my favorite guests, one of my favorite people in the NFL. I know Jaguars fans always appreciate your insight. At a busy time, I can't thank you enough for joining us, and thank you for being on the Ozone Podcast this week. Peter King, thank you.
Hey, no problem, John. Have a great week.